You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, new federal rules regulating overtime pay go into effect on December 1st. We'll learn about how the new rules will affect businesses and their employees in a little bit.
Right now, the idea of pilgrims and Native Americans sitting down for a Thanksgiving feast has been part and parcel of the holiday's lore.
But more important than a single meal was the knowledge about farming and the soil that the Wampanoag Indians shared with those settlers.
Susan Fisk is Director of Communications for the Soil Science Society of America, based in Wisconsin. She's the editor of their Soils Matter blog. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I've been introduced to something I hadn't even thought of. You're coming to a whole new continent. You're going to try to grow the same crops. The soil you're used to at home isn't necessarily what you're going to find there. And that's what the first English settlers found. How big a difference was there?
Well, as it turns out, probably bigger than they thought. The English settlers who came were used to a soil that was very loamy. Soil has three different size particles, sand, silt, and clay. And a loamy soil has a really nice mixture and has a lot of what we soil scientists call organic matter. It is very easy to crush with the hands. The pilgrims, when they landed, ended up being on a sandy soil that didn't have very much organic matter. So it was much more difficult for them to farm.
And so how did they begin to bridge that gap, adjusting their farming techniques and picking up the knowledge about how to work with this new soil?
The other problem that the pilgrims faced was that they were not really trained as farmers. They were tradespeople. So they had to turn to their Wampanoag friends to learn how to do gardening or farming in the New England way. They also didn't have the tools that we might be familiar with today. So they took a lot that was part of an old Wampanoag village, and that's where they started their farming.
Was this a matter of they'd maybe brought over seeds and crops from England only to find that they're not maybe going to grow here?
Yes, I don't know about you, but I've lived in four different locations in the United States, and what you can grow very well in Massachusetts is different from what grows in Louisiana. And even living in Green Bay versus Madison, what you can grow in different zones is very different. So that is what they faced.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Wampanoag tribe? Were they primarily a farming culture?
They were like other native peoples. They all had their own skills. Some were the fisher people. Some people did the farming. Other people took care of the clothing. So a lot, very diverse group.
So what kind of things on the farming side of things, what kind of secrets did they have to share with the pilgrims to help them make the best use of this new, different kind of soil?
They did have a few secrets. I think first they had to introduce them to the fact that the soil was just distinctly different, and they were going to have to grow different things. In England, they were not used to corn, and of course, the corn isn't the same as the corn on the cob that we have today. It was a very dark purple corn. And they also taught them more how to hunt and to fish. So there were a lot of different tricks. And the last trick that eventually came, not the first year, but they taught the pilgrims how to grow different plant groups together so that they might cooperate. The example is called Three Sisters, where you grow corn, squash, and beans together. And beans are a really nifty plant because they can pull nitrogen from the air and turn it into nutrients for the plant. And it shares it with the corn and the squash. So it kind of has its own fertilizer.
So is that something that those first settlers would have seized upon, that Three Sisters, and used it to sustain them through those first years?
Yes, because having to leave, and usually farmers would have to leave a farm fallow for a few years so the nutrients could build back up in the soil. But these pilgrims couldn't afford to go for a whole year without growing anything. Fallow is when you just leave the field and don't grow a crop. So having the Three Sisters and being able to put nitrogen from the air into the soil allowed them to have better yields and also increase their nutrient content.
Talking to Susan Fisk with the Soil Science Society of America. That's based in Wisconsin. She's the editor of their Soils Matter blog, learning about how the Pilgrims got some help adapting to new and very different soil when they came over from the Old World, from the Wampanoag tribe in New England. I don't really think about the role of different kinds of soil in history, but as your blog says, soils matter. Is this is just one example. Is this something that that you look at in other eras of history too?
Yes, actually, last year, 2015, was the International Year of Soils, and we had 12 different messages for each month, and the role that soil has played in historical events is actually very important. December was soils and culture, and we think of the Great Dust Bowl. We think of soils in literature, the famous Sherlock Holmes mysteries. Sir Conan Doyle was using the clues that you might find in soil as one of the leads that Sherlock Holmes used. Soil is also used culturally for your war paint, or Egyptians even used it for paint. So there's a very rich history side of soil as well.
Now, you mentioned the three sisters, that this was the corn, the squash, and the beans that the Wampanoag introduced them to, this idea of companion planting. What other crops might have grown in those first years?
Anything that would be native to New England, and that would be something like an ancestor of wheat, not the type of wheat that we would be used to. Wheat was wild at one point. They had things like wild strawberries growing on the beaches of Massachusetts. So learning to cultivate those native plants and adapt them to a new diet that they'd have to get used to.
You know, thinking about this, settling in a new world, and we're talking about maybe going to Mars someday. There are no Wampanoag tribes people on Mars waiting to help us farm there. What kind of things would you be thinking about in terms of trying to figure out what kind of soil is on Mars and what the heck we could do with it?
Oh, our soil scientists are actually studying that. And we got a lot of publicity last year when The Martian came out because we actually did a release on whether or not it would be practical to actually use, excuse me, your own poop to amend the soil in Mars. Yeah, to amend the soil in Mars to grow. And essentially, you could. We don't advocate for a diet full of potatoes, but actually beans would be something decent that a person could survive on for that length of time.
Now, I happen to remember from my Wisconsin history classes growing up that Antigo silt loam is the state soil of Wisconsin. How does our soil here compare to that New England soil that we're talking about?
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, so I can tell you, and I don't know if you've ever been to Plymouth Rock, but it was a very beachy area. It was very sandy. We have a really nice loam here. And so it didn't hold as much water, it didn't hold as much nutrients as what we'd find in Wisconsin, which would be a lot more similar to what they would find in England.
Getting back to the Wampanoag, did they share, we've been talking about farming mostly, you mentioned that there are other people who were fishing, hunting, and trapping. Did they share those kind of secrets with the Pilgrims who, I'm guessing, didn't know much more about fishing, hunting, and trapping than they did about farming?
Yes. The literature says that they did a large deer hunt right before the actual feast. And, you know, the woods were very different and very, very stark compared to what they might have found in England. Undeveloped Massachusetts, you know, was a very forested place.
What does that mean about the woods being stark? What is that difference?
They weren't as lush as you'd find in England. They were more barren at the time. Of course, there's more sugar maples in Massachusetts and more pines than you might find in a typical English countryside.
Now, talking about paying more attention to the soil of the past, do you think we pay enough attention to our soil and the condition of our soil that we rely on in the present?
We do not feel as though we pay enough attention to soil. And, you know, in humans' defense, we look down and there's soil. And we think it's everywhere, just like air and water. In the 70s, they passed the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. And soil at some point will probably get its own attention because it's a slowly renewable natural resource. It can take hundreds of years to make even a centimeter of new soil. So it's not like we just can keep using it up, just like water.
Do you think that the Wampanoag people have gotten the credit that they deserve for being a part of this first Thanksgiving story?
There's a lot of different museums out east that have different nations that are trying to explain their role in the history of the United States. And I think attendance at those museums would be a much better thing for everyone.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Susan Fisk is Director of Communications for the Soil Science Society of America, which is based in Wisconsin. She's the editor of their Soils Matter blog. She joined us to talk about how Native Americans shared their knowledge of farming and, yes, the soil of New England with the Pilgrims.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk about the new federal overtime rules going into effect on December 1st. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.